Boy, that was a wild show.
I know. Okay. I mean, obviously, there's a lot. We're kind of decompressing at this point. There's a lot to discuss. But since, like I've seen the show, like, probably a million times collectively over the years. That was your first time through. So just tell me some, like, very brief final thoughts before we get into this revival of, like, what you thought of season one versus season two, the show as a whole, your favorite character, your favorite this or that, just whatever you want to talk about.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Like, where do I even start? Like, that twist at the very end, it was just mind-boggling. And then the way Dipper and Mabel did the thing, and then this other thing happened. I mean, it was so wild. In fact, I could probably look back and say I was completely correct in that shit definitely got real in season two. Like, it was so real. Like, I can't even fathom how this freaking stayed on the air.
Yeah, that was definitely a big point of contention at the time. Like, you know, there are episodes of, like, let's say Darkwing Duck or DuckTales that got, like, banned from the air in the 90s because somebody, like, I don't know, fell off a cliff and then was completely fine. And now we have this.
Yeah, it's just incredible to me how much the standards have changed.
The standards?
Like, people in the 90s would clutch at their pearls for incredible stuff, just the most ridiculous stuff. And nowadays, it's like, you can get away with anything. They're kids. But, you know, it's whatever. It's a happy ending at the end of the day.
Anything except for gay characters.
Topical slam.
Oh, very topical. That's why I pirated this episode. Yeah, so you mentioned the twist at the end. So what did you see that coming? Was there anything, like, looking back that you're like, oh, of course it went in that direction?
Yeah, I mean, all the signs were there. I didn't really see them at the time, but I mean, as you've pointed them out, and as we've had these discussions, it's like they were always there, and I don't really know why I didn't notice them in the first place. I guess that's just a testament to how well the crew did to hide them all.
Well, what's something in particular that you're looking back and being like, oh my god, I should have seen that coming, or I should have, like, what's something specific?
I mean, the goat, for one.
Oh yeah, the goat.
Yeah, it's unbelievable when you really find out it was an eldritch being the whole time, and even one that wasn't in any of the journals. It's like, how did you see that coming when it was just an ordinary goat just walking around bleeding everywhere? Bleating. Not not with a D, with a T, making the baa sound.
Yeah, well, I think as far as, like, him not being in any of the journals, like, that really upped the stakes, because, like, this is a threat that they don't have any information on, and it's something that, like, has been around them the whole time, and that they just never would have suspected, except for eating their tin cans.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess I suppose the goat was bleeding with a D. Yeah, that, I'm getting the willies just thinking about that moment. That brought me back to freaking Lena vomiting out Magicka in DuckTales, to bring it up for the umpteenth time.
That was, I remember watching that episode and just being like, ah, they showed that on screen.
Yeah. They did that in a children's TV show.
Well, since the Eldritch Goat disintegrated into universe particles at the end, like, I'm not sure what the big bad is going to be now. But, like, you got to hope that they went bigger and badder, up the stakes somehow. Like, I don't know how you get higher than what we got in the finale.
Totally. And, I mean, Alex must have, like, a vendetta or something. Because, I mean, he had such a grudge against Disney, I'm sure, for the shit they put him through. And then I'm sure Netflix probably was treating him all right, just like any other animation company. And then, I don't know, maybe the price was extra right this time to convince him to bring back Gravity Falls for a third season.
My guess is that at the very least they gave him more creative liberty. Like, he's less restrained by standards and practices. But, like, he, for the longest time, was saying, like, we're not bringing the show back, at least not anytime soon. And now, like, it feels like this show just ended yesterday, but it was 6 years ago, and now it's back all of a sudden, and it just, it's weird. It's like, it's like the fact that they're remaking Lilo and Stitch, or they're planning to remake it, and, like, I saw that movie in theaters. It feels like, what? No, it's too soon to remake it, but no, it's been 20 years. Like, it's
yep. We don't feel old until they remind us how old we are. And I mean, yeah, it's, I'm pretty sure we're probably going to explore lots of darker themes. I mean, considering Disney's going to put the show on Hulu.
Yeah, it's like the iCarly revival, I guess.
Oh, where, yeah.
They know
They can say fuck this time.
Where you know that the audience has grown up, so you're kind of growing with them. But we've done a lot of preliminary thoughts. So what are your predictions for this first episode of season 3 on Hulu?
They're not going to be in the woods this time. They're going to be in Portland.
You think they're going to be in Portland?
Yeah. There's going to be magical monsters and eldritch beings in the city and lots of weed. Oh, I'm sure okay. There's going to be lots of weed.
Oh, I'm sure. I was going to say, I don't really know what Portland looks like, so I don't know how I would identify that. I guess they would put some kind of visual cue in there, but I really have no idea what to expect from this. So without further ado, let's go ahead and watch it.
I'm excited.
I mean, me too, obviously, but I still can't believe it. And 3, 2, 1, play. Welcome to Into the Falls, a Gravity Falls podcast. I'm Mary, and I know lots of things.
I'm AJ, and I know nothing.
This is a podcast where I guide AJ through the wonderful weirdness of Gravity Falls, my favorite show that he has never seen.
If you're a new arrival like me, or looking to relive some crazy summer memories, come with us, and let's dive into the falls.
Later that same evening.
Okay, we just watched the Hulu kind of sneak preview pilot type thing. They're still doing that thing where they call it like a sneak peek, but it's just the first episode. But
yeah.
In any case, we just watched it, and I have a lot of thoughts as a longtime fan, but since AJ, this is still relatively fresh for you, I want to get your thoughts first. So what did you think of this revival, reboot, whatever you want to call it?
I just thought it was interesting how they started. You just get a big wide shot of Portland with all the big cities and the occasional green clouds like coming from an apartment. And then you just zoom in on this roof, and then there's just Mabel and Dipper just hanging out under a tree.
You said green clouds?
Yeah, the weed clouds, you know?
Oh, I thought you were talking about the trees and you like got it wrong. But yeah, I forgot about those.
Yeah, lots of weed in Portland. But yeah, it was really a big departure from where we started the first episode of Gravity Falls with them just crashing through the billboard on the golf cart. And it's here. It's just like, oh, they're just chilling. Bored in the house, except they're not in the house.
That might be the only thing I can think of is that they wanted to really differentiate it from the original pilot, where you start with this high action scene, and now we're starting with, like, you know, if you're watching this, you're probably already a fan, so they don't necessarily need to hook you right from the beginning. They can just have the characters be sitting kind of calmly for a minute and just kind of, like, doing what we did at the beginning of this episode, decompressing, just talking about where they've been and where they want to go, which, like, could be a really beautiful thing. It could lead to some very emotional moments in the coming season. This episode, not that emotional, but it is like we're getting back into the swing of things, so I can understand that.
Yeah.
This was a little more toned down, though. Like, it had that element to it, definitely, but it wasn't like this big fanfare about, like, here's Stan, he's back, here's the Sheriff Blubbs, who's featured very heavily in this episode, that surprised me. Here's Waddles, here's whoever else. They just kind of show up as they're needed in the story, which I think was a good move.
Yeah.
A lot of them are characterized very differently, I feel like. It could just be that time has passed and maybe they want you to feel like these characters have grown off screen and, like, they're fundamentally the same people, but maybe they present themselves differently.
Yeah. I mean, Mabel's voice, like, she got deeper, but it still feels...
Yeah, she sounds like a...
I don't know, a 12-year-old boy.
Yeah, like she was a 12-year-old girl in the show, but now it's like time has passed. We're supposed to believe the characters have aged. I mean, they don't outwardly say that, so maybe we're not supposed to think that. And maybe this is a secret prequel. We don't know. Anything could happen at this point. But she sounds like a 12-year-old boy now, even though, like, it's been a few years. And, like, conceivably her voice should be lower. I mean, Dipper's kind of is, but he barely talks in this episode, so...
Yeah.
I don't really know what to make of it.
I thought that was weird.
I mean, some people just, like, have days when they don't have much to say, but we're coming back to these characters after a long time, and I don't know, I would have liked Dipper having more to say. He's definitely, like, doing things, like, he's involved with the plot. Do we want to talk about the plot?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it was interesting
it's
how...
It's very cartoony by this show's standards. Like, there's nothing wrong with being cartoony, it's just Gravity Falls...
It's interesting how they go from one sort of cartoony with all of these mythical monsters and all of this stuff to sort of maybe another realm of cartoony in that they're building a giant roller coaster that literally goes to space.
Yeah, like it's heightened. I mean, literally, because it's a very tall roller coaster.
Fun.
But it's heightened. It was always heightened, but now it's like, I don't know how to describe it. It's a very light tone.
Yeah.
Which was kind of the case in the original pilot, but it feels a lot lighter than the show. After that point, the show kind of got progressively darker, and now we're kind of back to square one. If anything, we're, like, behind square one.
Yeah, it was just interesting. And, I mean, you don't really expect Stan to appear the way that he does. I mean, he's going to the grocery store? Like,
yeah.
where's all the Mystery Shack stuff?
He's just running errands? Like... There's not even really, like, anything funny about it or, like, Stan-like about it. He's just running a normal errand, like a normal person, and he seems very, like, beleaguered, like he's tired. Blubs, like, follows him to the store for some reason.
Yeah, that's...
Blubs is featured heavily in this episode, which, like, I guess makes sense because he became, like, a much bigger character as the show originally went on, but he's still not, like... the main cast, in my opinion. And Durland isn't even in it. You only see Durland. You don't see Durland. You hear him kind of off screen, like Blubs talks to him on the phone in one scene and that's it.
Oh, yeah.
We haven't seen his glorious return yet.
Yeah, maybe they're doing a long distance thing. I don't know. Maybe they're seeing other people.
I don't know about seeing other people. I think it's just kind of they're living their own lives and like in their own space and like they're comfortable enough in that relationship to... be able to do that because they just talk about like, oh, you're going to the mall. No, sorry, I can't come. I gotta watch these kids, which like the kids can handle themselves. Like we've really seen them handle themselves.
Yeah, totally.
Understatement of the century.
I guess they are seeing other people because Blub's talking about freaking Lazy Susan on the phone.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they are trying something out. I don't know. Maybe this is Disney wanting us to think they're straight. And just like, no, they're best friends. See, he's getting with this woman. But I don't know. I feel like Alex Hirsch wouldn't have come back if that was a stipulation. I feel like he felt very strongly about that.
Sheriff Blubs is the bisexual representation I need.
That's true. No, it's fine. It's fine for them to be bi. It just kind of comes off like Disney wants you to think they're straight, but I don't know.
I mean, Waddles has moved up in the world. What do you think of that?
Yeah. Oh my God. Waddles like... has his own subplot. It's not just a subplot involving Waddles where like, oh, Waddles is doing this and we gotta go do that. I don't know how to describe it, but...
He lives a secret double life.
Yeah, he's like going out and fighting Gideon, I guess getting revenge on Mael's behalf, which is nice. It's very cute that he's so loyal to his owner. It's gotta be a secret for some reason, even though the like everybody knows about all this supernatural stuff, so why... why does he have to keep it a secret that he's attained sentience and is now a secret agent, which happened off screen, apparently?
Yeah, so weird. And I mean, Gideon, can we talk about how much he stepped up his, like, tinkering invention game? Like, the stuff
Gideon,
he's built...
Yeah, Gideon, I think Gideon went to a technical college off screen that we didn't hear about because he's building these... machines, these like magnetic whatevers. Okay, I love the scene where Waddles is like flying behind Dipper and Mabel building this roller coaster and he like tips his hat to cover his face like that's gonna ease suspicion, like the flying hovercraft isn't gonna raise any eyebrows.
Yeah.
It also made me think of the line in You're So Vain where Carly Simon's like,
your hat strategically dipped below one eye.
Yeah, totally.
I love that the first verse of that song is... I love that the first verse of that song is just describing someone in increasingly specific detail. And then the chorus is like...
Yeah.
You're so vain. You probably think this song is about you.
How could you think I'm talking about you? I could be talking about anyone right now. Get over yourself.
Get over yourself.
But I guess... I guess that's like the point, is it's supposed to be ironic.
Yeah.
It's just really funny.
It's like rain on your wedding day.
It is like rain on your wedding day. It's like a free ride, but you already paid.
It's like good advice that you didn't take. I'm AJ Sanchez, and this has been the Into the Falls 90s Alternative Rock Moment. It's 3 a.m. and I must be lonely. Now back to the show.
So, okay, Blubs and Waddles both have, like, a way bigger role. Can we talk about how Seuss is literally in one scene?
Oh, yeah. I did not like that. Like, I was so into how big of a role he played in the plot in season two.
Yeah.
And all the emotional drama revolving around him. And now he's just an engineer. Like, what's up with that?
I mean, it's like a sneak preview pilot episode. I'm sure we'll see more of him as it goes on, but I was disappointed. I did want to see more of him. I missed all these characters. So, like, you know, you want to see more of them, but how much can you really fit into 11 minutes? And let's talk about that. They changed the format to 11-minute segments, like two 11-minute things per episode, which, like, you can still do that with a serialized format. I know Amphibia's doing that. Steven Universe did that. I just wouldn't have expected it from this show.
And I mean, it's kind of weird. Like, the show's in widescreen, 16:9, but it feels like they were still animating to fit in the old 4:3 format.
4:3, yeah.
Yeah, like they were trying to account for both, but, you know.
Yeah, it feels kind of old school. Like, they're still talking on, like, phones with cords, which they were doing in the original, but the original was made 10 years ago, so I would have thought they would update it a little bit, be like, yeah, the characters have smartphones, and it's not that big of a difference.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, what's with the peanut butter? How does that factor into the engineering of a roller coaster? Like, wouldn't that detract from the structural integrity?
I mean, Mabel has her own logic and her own way of doing things, so I guess, I'm sure she had some use for the peanut butter, otherwise, like, it was just a snack for them. Because she's always thinking of that, like, okay, yeah, we'll do this mission, we'll go on this adventure, but let's make sure we're having fun, let's make sure we're enjoying ourselves.
Yeah.
Get some snacks, tell some jokes. So that was always very much a part of her character. I was surprised that you were so right about it being in Portland, because they didn't, like, really advertise that, and I wouldn't have expected it. But I was watching it, and I'm like, okay, either this is Portland or Gravity Falls has become very urbanized.
Which, I mean, that could be the case too, but, you know, I feel like it's much more likely that Gravity Falls is just going to remain the tiny hick town that it is, and the characters are just going to move elsewhere. Babe Pig in the City or some shit.
I haven't seen either of the Babe movies, so I don't know.
Well, neither have I.
Well, I'm thinking at this point, this seems to be like a very slow burn as far as like the serialized overarching plot. So I'm thinking either this is the format going forward. It's just these little adventures with the Gravity Falls characters, which I'll be okay with as long as they still feel like the same characters. Or something is going to happen that brings them back to Gravity Falls, and that's where the big overarching mystery is going to start. But at this point, like, they've settled into this urban life, they've left that town behind, they're still, you know, they still have fond memories of it, and they're still keeping in touch, but they're like, yeah, that part of our lives is over, which is really what the arc of the show is all about. So I think if they stick with that, I'll respect that to a degree. But, you know, if you're going to revive Gravity Falls, we want to see Gravity Falls and we want to see how it's changed.
Yeah, definitely. And I want to sort of deviate a little bit to that subplot with Waddles. I mean,
Gideon is, like, a lot more likable in this.
I mean, he always had a lot of charisma, but
I really respect them going in that direction with the character, just saying, like, you know, he was a kid when this happened and now he's grown a little bit. So, like, he still kind of doesn't really get how to be a person, basically.
Yeah. Feels like he's been, like, secluded up in a tower for, like, the past few years that Gravity Falls hasn't aired. But, like, I mean, good for him stepping up his engineering game, like, building a magnet to reverse the rotation of the Earth. That's some high level stuff. It's almost like he became an atheist and science became his god.
Yeah. I mean, I can definitely see that happening with him, but I really respect this idea that, like, he's like kind of mostly harmless just because he's not very good at what he does. But he's no longer like trying to wage like personal attacks on the characters. He's just trying to do like these big pie in the sky, like evil supervillain stuff and just like, see what works.
It's charming, really. And I mean,
yeah.
To be able to afford that much tinfoil, he must have a trust fund from somewhere, or maybe one of his past inventions is making hella royalties. So I mean, good for him. He's really leveled up.
Well, he was a child celebrity.
That's also true. I mean,
he probably got a sponsorship deal with some brand of tinfoil and was able to get a lifetime supply.
He sold out to the man and is reaping the rewards.
I don't think he knows where he is geographically because he said he's covered the entire eastern seaboard in tinfoil and they're in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah. And I want to know, how long have Waddles and Gideon had this little tiff of theirs? I mean, it's clearly established in this pilot that they've had some beef for quite a while. We don't exactly know how long, but we know this isn't the first time that they're meeting.
For all we know, it could have gone back to, like, before we even met them in the original show, because, I mean, the kids don't know that Waddles is doing this, and Gideon doesn't seem to know that this is the same pig that's their pet, so it could be that they were already nemeses, and then they just happened to kind of cross paths into Dipper and Mabel's lives during the show, and this is just a side of them that we never saw as the audience.
Yeah. Waddles' theme song, though, choice.
Yeah. Oh, it was so cute. I love it.
Yeah, I mean,
Waddles, 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 Waddles.
Pivoting to theme songs, like, I know the Gravity Falls theme is so iconic to those in the fandom, and it's really simple, but it really, you know, it's like perfect for the mood of the show, this sort of whimsical, mysterious kind of vibe. The last thing I sort of expected was for them to grab Bowling for Soup to do the new theme song.
Yeah. Oh my God, that is a throwback.
I know, right?
They weren't even relevant when the original show was on. This is just, we are 2005 Nickelodeon Sky High. Okay. I need to mention this. The song Melt With You by Modern English, I want to say is
Modern
the band's
English.
Name. One of the first lines in it is, "Making love to you was never second best." I started listening to the Bowling for Soup cover they did for the movie Sky High, and I'm like, there's no way they kept that because the movie was rated PG and Disney would have wanted to market it. And like, I remember the music video airing on Disney Channel, so like, there's no way they played that line. Do you want to guess what they changed the line to?
I gotta put on my Kidz Bop hat. Eating snacks with you was never second best.
Having snacks with you was never second best? No. Do you want to guess again or do you want me to tell you?
Playing Ratchet and Clank with you was never second best.
They changed it to
being friends with you was never second best.
Oh, that is so like Radio Disney sh.
It literally was, though.
That's hilarious. And I mean, it's also kind of hilarious because Bowling for Soup was never really that sort of clean-cut Radio Disney kind of band.
I mean, until they got the song in Sky High.
They were very irreverent pop punk.
Don't wanna hump your sister.
And, I don't know, Jared Reddick, the lead singer,
is now the
voice of Chuck E. Cheese. So he's living his best life.
He's making money.
Hell yeah. All those royalties from 1985.
Okay, I actually looked at the press release for the new season. It says that Jared Reddick, who's the lead singer in Bowling for Soup, is gonna play a character on this show at some point.
Really?
Yeah, he's gonna play, like, Danny something. Like, there's like some band that the characters that like exists in universe, and so he's gonna be in that. I don't know if it's just gonna be a singing role, like the in-universe fictional songs feature his voice, or if he's actually gonna be like voice acting and playing a character. But I guess if he can play Chuck E. Cheese, he can do anything. Mabel, I was trying to remember who the new voice reminded me of, because it's still Christian Schaal, but it sounds completely different. It sounds like the white friend from Everybody Hates Chris. Do you remember that kid?
I don't. I've never seen Everybody Hates Chris.
Oh, well, is it? Oh, I just realized. I think that kid's name was Greg, and the kid who played Chris is now playing a character named Greg on Abbott Elementary.
That's so funny.
I think I could be wrong. He could have been named something else, but I think it was Greg.
You know lots of things. You may not know this thing, but that's okay.
I know lots of things. I never said I know everything.
Exactly. And I mean, I know nothing, so I'm just sitting over here having a grand old time.
Well, we know one thing that's true in this universe. Pigs are the only mammals to lay eggs.
Yeah, that's so weird.
It's weird that Dipper was the one who said that, because I would have expected a line like that from Mabel or Seuss or just someone who, like, the joke is that they're very wrong. But I guess the joke is that, like, Dipper is usually right about these things, and he's completely talking out of his ass. Out of his behind.
Yeah. I mean, do we want to talk about how his voice is deeper now and a little British?
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, part of what really defined his character was the voice crack and was that Jason Ritter has such a distinctive voice. This one, like, he only had one line in this episode.
But he made it count.
Yeah, he made, if nothing else, he left an impression, I'll say that.
Hell yeah. I feel like Wendy has a thing for Mabel now.
Yeah, that was... interesting. I guess this is why they moved it to Hulu, because, like, if kids are watching the original show and then they watch this, they're not really going to understand the nuance of, like, oh, they're older now, so the age difference doesn't mean as much.
Yeah. And don't show Disney kids the Lesbians.
No, but Hulu's just fine for some reason.
It's the Love Victor paradox.
Yeah, exactly. I always bring that up as an example, and it's so frustrating. But
wait. Funny thing. Going to Disney Plus. To watch, because this is dropped on Disney Plus. The first thing I do when I log in, it asks me if I want to change my content rating limit to TVMA.
So, because they just added the Marvel shows from Netflix. They just moved them from Netflix to Disney Plus, and those were TVMA. So they're changing the settings so you can do like parental controls.
Gotcha. I just wonder if this is gonna set any sort of precedent on Disney Plus going forward. Like, will there be a window here for more adult content? Because, like, internationally, Hotstar, which is where they put all their adult content, is just, it's just part of Disney Plus.
It's just called Star. I don't know where you got Hotstar.
I don't know. Maybe it's called Hotstar in India or something.
Maybe. I think that is what they're going for, because they know that the Marvel shows are like a huge get.
Oh, huge. Massive.
Yeah, I guess we're going to get that going forward. Like, less of these projects going to Hulu and more of them going to Disney Plus, so they can feel less restrained to kiddie stuff. And like this one... they're kind of experimenting, like, they dropped it on Hulu and Disney Plus at the same time, which I haven't seen them do for an original yet. I've seen them do it for, like, movies that came out in theaters, and then they went to Disney Plus and Hulu at the same time.
Yeah.
I haven't seen them do it for, like, an original series yet.
Yeah, it's so wild. Disney, they're just constantly innovating in this scene.
I mean, they're really changing things. About, like, how they kind of present their content, not so much how they run their company.
There was so much lesbian energy on that. What you doing? That would have been too hot for Disney Plus like a year ago.
It feels like it's kind of innocent. Like maybe it's not that she has a thing for Mabel. Maybe it's just she's really like undergone a personality change, and she's dressing kind of more feminine, kind of like cuter. Not that she wasn't dressing cute, just like cutesy is what I mean.
Yeah. So yeah, that roller coaster.
So
I mean,
they charged money for the roller coaster?
I mean, if you're gonna enter into a huge business venture like that, you gotta get some rocks off it.
They're really learning from Stan at this point.
Absolutely.
And I think that's something that this pilot did very well for, like, all the critiques I had of it and all the points where it confused me. One thing it did do well is it really kept those relationships, those family relationships. Like it ends with Mabel talking about just, like, how lucky she is to have Dipper for her brother, which I thought was very sweet. And, like, Stan, like, at the end of the day, is still Stan. He's kind of acting a little different, but, like, after everything that happened in the show, you can kind of see him progressing, which is true for all the characters.
I don't know exactly what kind of vendetta Sheriff Blubbs has over Dipper and Mabel this time around, but he really wants to bust them. Like, it's almost comical how try-hard he is in order to get Stan to see this roller coaster.
He really wants to lock up these kids. It's kind of disturbing. Yeah, I don't know what he expects Stan to do about it, because he's just going to be proud of them. Like, yeah, you're doing, like, illicit activity and charging people money for it. That's how I raised you the summer that you lived in my house.
I don't know. Maybe the police force was hard on him.
So that's really something that it did well, is it, it really feels like these characters have been living together and have known each other. And that's really all you want from when you're going back to them after so much time. So I'm not sure still how I feel about this, but I will watch the rest of the season. I'm excited for it. I'm excited to see where they go and how this really affects the character dynamics and what new theories we're going to come up with. AJ, you get to experience the fandom this time, kind of.
I am so ready to just dive so deep into this. Like, no matter if the episodes are formulaic, like, I noted some catchphrases that we're probably going to be hearing every single episode from here on out, but, you know, I'm so into
it. Yeah, they seem very specific.
And I can't wait to hear everybody's reactions. Like, I can't wait for somebody to scream at Mabel going, "Hey, I know what we're going to do today." Like, what did you think of that?
That felt very specific to me. So, yeah, I wonder if that's going to be a recurring thing. I did love hearing the sweet voice of Philip Van Orman yell, "Curse you, Waddles the pig!"
Yeah. That's just the icing on the cake to Gideon's just incredibly, incredible defeat. Just like chef's kiss.
Some people just never change.
Yep. Some people just want to watch the world burn. And some people just want to build roller coasters for their friends.
All right, well, AJ, what do you think is going to happen in the rest of this season? Because I, for once, have no idea.
Well,
except for the Bowling for Soup thing.
I think we're probably going to have an episode where they go to Mount Rushmore because, you know, I feel like that's
well, we saw
really
it in this
good,
one. We saw it in this one. They, like, flew, it, like, flung them to Mount Rushmore, and they, like, landed on top of it and then flung back, so I wonder if we're gonna see that again.
Oh, yeah, we're definitely going to. I feel like that's gonna be the plot point in the next episode. Because, I mean, they can't stay in the city forever. They're probably gonna want to see the world other than Gravity Falls, which, you know, I'm sure they're gonna come back to later on, but I feel like something's drawing them to Mount Rushmore.
I wonder when we're going to see Paris again, because they end up in Paris, too.
Oh, yeah.
Croissant?
Does anybody want a croissant?
Are you going to finish that croissant?
All right, well, that's all we got for you for now, because I don't know what's coming next. But the next episode is called Blubbs Loses His Head. I'm guessing that's like a callback to Headhunters.
Yeah, you gotta have the head pun somewhere around there. Oh, can I talk about the code real quick before we end this?
I couldn't find any codes. Did you find a code?
Oh, yeah. It was like a split second, but I went back and paused it at the right time. It was really tiny on the screen. They didn't even bother with a cipher. And it said, "April Fools, you actually watched a Phineas and Ferb episode."
Oh, that's weird.
I don't know what to say about that.
This has been Into the Falls. You can find me at Mabel Page Pines on Twitter and Instagram. That's Mabel, P-A-G-E Pines. I'm also May Page on YouTube and Film Knife on Medium and WordPress. That's where I post my film reviews and essays, editorials, etc. You can follow the show on Twitter at The Falls Cast, all one word, and Into the Falls Podcast on YouTube. And I will hand it off to AJ.
Well, you'll be happy to know I've made it a little easier nowadays to find me on socials. So if you want, hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, or Tumblr at UncaAJ. That's UncaAJ. This podcast is hosted and produced by Mary McKeon and AJ Sanchez, and our theme song and some of the music is by Kevin MacLeod. Thanks so much for listening, and until next time, trust no one! Snap it up, y'all. This one is called "Today is Gonna Be a Great Day." Come on. There's 104 days of summer vacation till school comes along just to end it. So the annual problem for our generation is finding a good way to spend it. Like maybe building a rocket, or fighting a mummy, or climbing up the Eiffel Tower. Discovering something that doesn't exist, or giving a monkey a shower. Surfing tidal waves, creating nanobots, or locating Frankenstein's brain? Finding a dodo bird? Painting a continent? Or driving your sister insane? This could possibly be the best day ever. Huh. And the forecast says that tomorrow will likely be 1,006,000 times better. So make every minute count. Jump up. Jump in. Seize the day. And let's make sure that in every single possible way, today is gonna be a great day. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, boy.